We all want to be happier, but how do we get there? First, we start by realizing happiness is not a destination. Being happy consists of micro action steps every single day. I'm your host, Brittany King, and I'm here to guide you along the way.
Hello, my friend, and welcome back to the Positively Real podcast. It's your host and coach, Brittany King, and I got an episode for you today, my friend. It's actually going to be a series. So all of April, most of April, I don't like to go too black or white on things, but most of April, I am going to break down stress because you know, I notice patterns in my own life. I notice patterns in my clients' life. And I think it's important that we actually like have a conversation about what stress really is. I've been learning all about it on a deeper level with my nervous system training. And I talk about this with my clients a lot. And I wanted to bring this to you because, you know, I think stress is a familiar and accepted but misunderstood part of our lives. And stress is an inevitable companion to our uber connected, ultra fast, just overstimulated, overconsumptioned, that's a word, but you know, comparing ourselves to other people. I mean, it's just a trusty companion in our fast-paced world, and it affects all of us. Yet, why? Why does it affect us so much? So I wanted to create a series of episodes for you to help you better understand stress and lay the groundwork for a deeper understanding of stress and your responses to it. So every episode is going to be geared towards some area of stress. And if this is going to, trust me, this will not be boring. You know, I don't do boring. I only do fun. But I think it's just important. And I want to just like break down what is stress. We talk about it all the time. And I hear this with my clients all the time. I'm just so stressed. I'm stressed. This is stressing me out. And it's almost taken on this identity, right? There's the state of being stressed, like your body, your physical state. And then there's a trait. And a lot of people that I talk to, specifically clients, they're like, I am stressed. And whenever I hear I am stressed, I'm like, how long have you been saying that about yourself? You did not come into the world stressed. In fact, babies are like the least stressed creatures. And when they get stressed, they just shake it off, literally. Like it doesn't impact them at all. And so I wanted to record this first episode for you. We're just going to talk about stress. And then, of course, I'm going to give you some tangible things to do. But I think that it's really important for you just to understand it because I think it helps you feel less cray-cray when you feel stressed. And that's the first thing I want to talk about is stress is a feeling. It is a signaler. The more that you identify with the emotion of stress, the more that becomes your identity. And I really want to help you kind of detangle that. You're not stressed. You are not stressed. You are a human being that experiences stress, which is a normal part of life. So I want to talk about what is stress. I'm going to break down the different types of stress. There's acute stress and chronic stress. We're going to talk about the signs of stress and just also the sneaky signs of stress. I'll share a little bit about the nervous system and the stress response because that's where it comes from. And then we'll give some self-assessment and reflection. So some takeaways. Now, each episode is going to kind of build on each other. So if you have questions, please send them to me and I will make sure I address them in the upcoming episodes. So first, let's just check in. How are you feeling as you're listening to this episode? How's your body feeling? What does stress actually feel like? I know when I'm working with a client that when they are feeling stress, I go right to their body. Where do you feel it? And myself too, I carry stress in my jaw, which since I've been doing breath work consistently, I do not wake up with a tight jaw anymore, which is that a coincidence? No, probably not. A lot of clients carry it in their shoulders, their neck. I do carry stress behind my neck. It's where I feel it the most. Some carry it in their backs, their hips. Some feel it in their stomach. And so that's where you just want to check, like, where do you feel experience stress? And let's just talk about what is stress. Let's break this down. So stress, in essence, is your body's reaction to any change that requires an adjustment or response. So essentially, stress is just information. It is data. It is trying to talk to you. It's trying to communicate with you. And it can be triggered by both external environment, or it could be triggered by internal environment. And so this could be your cognitive, your emotions. If it's triggered by external, it could be something environment. And it's just really important to know that stress is not just something that gets triggered from outside of us. Stress very much comes from within as well. And this is all a part of our biology. Our biology has designed us this way for survival. And so stressors, external things, are not the cause of stress. So a stressor, which could be something that's external or internal, plus a past learning, plus perceived threat, what we think, our mindset, our thoughts about the stressors, and then our physiological reaction, how our body reacts, that is our stress response. So nothing exists in isolation. And when we can understand that this is kind of a combination of things being put together, that is what actually creates our stress response. So the stress response, external or internal, is anything that poses a challenge or threat to our well-being. And this is perceived. This isn't, you know, real danger. I mean, at times it could be real danger, but for most part, it's how we're perceiving it. Then we include our past learning. So any previous experiences influence how we perceive and react to stressors. This includes both negative and positive past learnings. And this has become encoded in our memory and within our bodily responses. And then you mix in this perceived, like I said, perceived threat plus your physiological reaction. So that our perception of a stressor as a threat controls our physiological response. So what happens in our body. And so what's happening in our body is helping us prepare to either face or escape the threat. And this perception is heavily influenced by our mindset and our thoughts about the stressor. So this isn't just like one thing happening. It's all of these things happening at once. And nothing more than a physical reaction to a perceived threat. Like, that is stress. We are having a physical reaction to something that we are perceiving as a threat in our environment. That is, honestly, if that's the only thing you take from this episode, that's what's most important. Because you getting an email from a client or a boss or whomever is not the same thing as you being chased by a bear in the woods, right? Like, that's different, but the way that your brain is perceiving it is the same, and your body is going to respond the same way. And this is really important, because the more you understand this and the more you can work on techniques to help calm, and I use calm lightly, but help like work through a stress response, it's going to ultimately help you respond to things versus be in a state of reaction or in this over activated state looking kind of for the next threat. So the stress response is an adaptive mechanism. And so this is what everybody refers to as fight or flight. You have definitely heard this. And this is designed to help the body cope with threats. So this is initiated by the autonomic nervous system. And this response temporarily increases our alertness, energy, and strength. So this is really important in a short-term activation, because this helps us respond and deal with immediate threats. But the problem is, chronic activation can lead to health issues and just so many complications. And we just don't realize this, because it really becomes the buildup. So yes, in the short term, this is very helpful. Like, if you are walking across the street and a car is coming, you want to get out of the street. You don't want to have to think about it. You want your autonomic nervous system to perceive that threat as a real threat and get you out of the street. We love that. We need that. Thank you, body and brain, everything. Thank you for doing that for us. That's amazing. But the problem is we can't distinguish what's really a threat and what's not. And the more you can understand this, the easier it will be to pause when your body is having a physiological reaction to something in your environment to be like, what's the threat here? Am I actually in danger? And can you bring yourself down from that activated state? So we've talked about the autonomic nervous system before, but I will always touch on it because I think it's really important to understand. The autonomic nervous system is autonomic. It is involuntary bodily functions, heart rate, digestion, respiratory rate. It is all of the things that you don't want to have to think about consciously. It's doing it unconsciously. And thank goodness for that. And so there's the sympathetic nervous system, which turns on that fight or flight response. And then there's the parasympathetic nervous system. And this promotes rest and digest. And this is what helps your body rest and recover. We love a good parasympathetic nervous system moment. But the problem is we spend a lot of time in our sympathetic nervous system because we are constantly looking for the next threat because we don't actually bring ourselves down from the stress response. The stressor passes and we think we've come down from it, but unless you do specific activities and do certain things to bring your baseline back down, your stress baseline will stay pretty high. So let's talk about perceived threat. Like what is actually happening? So when a perceived threat happens, like your brain is constantly scanning your environment for what's safe, what's not. So when a threat is perceived, the brain and the body go through very quick changes. And this is happening again unconsciously. You're not doing this consciously because you don't want to be thinking about, should I get out of the street or not? You want your system to get you out of the street. So what happens is there's an activation to the sympathetic nervous system, which leads to a physiological change such as increased heart rate, blood pressure, and energy. So just notice the next time you get stressed by something about work or in your family or whatever, what happens inside of your body? What do you feel? Increased heart rate, your temperature changes, blood pressure. For me, I feel it in my stomach. And then what happens after that is cortisol and adrenaline is released. These stress hormones further mobilize energy and resources to tackle the perceived threat. And then there is a redirection of blood flow. Blood is redirected to essential areas like muscles away from important functions like digestion. So if you have ever noticed when you are stressed out, your digestion slows down because your brain's like, we don't need to focus on digestion. We need to focus on survival. We need to get out of this dangerous situation. So the blood flow, the energy goes to different parts of our body that our brain thinks it would be better resourced and used. There are a couple of different types of stress, and I do want to touch on them before I touch on chronic stress and what happens to that within your body. And if you're listening, you're like, yeah, I know this, but think about it. Like, if you know it, that's great, but are you applying what you understand and what you know? Do you have daily practices and different go-to activities that you can use when you do have a stress response? Because stress is not going away. It is a part of being a human. And I will add, like, there's good stress. Like, we put, you know, this emphasis on bad stress, and bad stress is a bad thing for us and it's bad for our health. It's actually a really important mechanism in our body for survival, and we're always going to have it. We just have to get better at managing it and sometimes just reducing it. There are certain stressors in our life that we could just straight up reduce. And you know what's so interesting? The more I've gotten into this work and understanding, I used to be like the cardio queen. I would teach spin class and I would do so much high intensity exercise. And what I didn't realize was I was keeping my body in this constant state of fight or flight. Even something that it was considered good for me on top of everything else was actually putting my body at a disadvantage, which led me into this whole health journey, which I'll save that for a totally different episode. But there, you know, there is good stress. Like, we have good stress. We have good, exciting stress too, and things that happen in our life. So, you know, it's not all negative and terrible, but it's just a matter of like being able to work with the stress, be able to process the stress, able to not let it control us. So I want to talk about acute stress and chronic stress. You know, stress in a broadest sense refers to the body and the mind's response to any demand for change. So if there's going to be change from both positive stress and negative stress, this is for any event or condition. So the demand doesn't just have to be, you know, like I said, it's not just negative. It can also be positive stress. But the evolution, that was the word. I was like, what is the word that I'm trying to think of? Yes, this is an evolution. Like, stress is a part of human evolution and it's very important. And this perspective highlights the importance for human survival. And so this has allowed our ancestors to react so swiftly to threats and bring this heightened awareness and physical readiness. The problem is, in these modern times, is our body is not, we're not faced with the same physical dangers that our ancestors, but our body stress response remains unchanged. So we are triggered by daily challenges such as work deadlines, relationship issues, financial concerns, you name it. And so being able to really distinguish and separate that will help you have a more holistic approach to managing your stress that affects both your body and mind. So the difference between acute stress and chronic stress. So the differentiation between the two depends on the duration and the impact. So what that means is, if it's quick and it's short-lived and it's usually from, you know, an immediate threat or a challenge but can be processed pretty quickly, that's acute. If it's chronic, this occurs over time and is persistent over a long period of time, and it leaves you in the state of being alert without proper rest and recovery. So acute stress, this form is short-lived and often a result of immediate threats or challenges. And its characteristics are usually an instant physiological response that heightens our sense and prepares us to face or escape danger. So acute stress can be beneficial in small doses. This can enhance performance and motivation. So for example, the stress experienced before a public speaking or during, you know, a sporting event can inspire someone to perform their best. Like, it's good stress. It's added stress, right? It has them showing up the way that they want to show up. Once the situation is completed, the body stress response usually returns to a baseline without very much negative impact on the health, because it comes back down to a baseline because it's a shorter period of time. So this is what's happening in our workouts for the most part, because we're adding stress. But for me, I was doing long distance running, I was hiking, I was spinning. Like, this is a lot of unnecessary stress inside my nervous system, inside my body. So that turned into chronic stress. So unlike acute stress, chronic stress occurs when stressors persist over an extended period of time, leading to a constant state of being alert in the body without adequate recovery or relaxation. So this prolonged activation of stress response can be so detrimental to our health, and it can contribute to a host of physical and physiological issues. And yes, it could be heart disease. It could be digestive problems, immune dysfunction, fertility issues. Like, that's what I was running into, hormonal problems, but also can be emotional. It can be anxiety, depression. Like, there's a whole, it's not just one thing that it can impact. It can impact so many different parts of our health. And this chronic stress, which is an epidemic in our culture, it comes from the ongoing pressures that build up over time, right? It's less immediate, but it's more constant. And this pressure, whether it's work-related demands, whether it's relationships, whether it is finding purpose, whatever it is, financial concerns, you know, it's just ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. And that's what creates the wear and tear in our body. So we have this allostatic load, and essentially it's like a bucket. And the more you put in this bucket, the fuller it becomes, that the more likely it's going to overflow. That's why it's kind of like when, you know, the milk spills and all of a sudden you're just like crying on the floor, and you're crying on the floor, not because the milk spilled, but just because of the overload of stress over time. And you can feel it. The more in tune you become with your body, the more you can feel that stress response. Like, you can feel it at the end of the night when you feel this like buzzing, having a harder time coming down, having a harder time focus. Like, all of these are signals that your body is trying to send you that your baseline is still very high, and it's important that you come back down to a more equilibrium after you know, you have the stress build up. So understanding the difference between acute and chronic stress is not just information to have. It is something that you can apply to real world right now and how you manage stress in your life. Because being able to recognize the signs of chronic stress early on will help you be proactive and take action before stress has a lasting impact on your health. So some early signs of chronic stress could be persistent fatigue, anxiety, frustration, irritability, or even just health problems that really have no root cause. If you can't find a root cause to a health problem, let me tell you, it's most likely tied to stress. Stress is so sneaky. Even if you're like, I'm not stressed about anything, it's not about being like not being stressed in the present moment. It's about the buildup, like what has been going on leading up to the present moment. That is the biggest area to look at. So being able to have stress relief and reduction management techniques, which we'll get into in the future episodes, but physical activity that's mindful, mindfulness practices, getting enough rest and getting support, asking for help before it becomes too much. And I know what it feels like when you feel really stressed and overwhelmed. You don't want to burden other people, but if you can really let that ego go and just say, I need help, that will help eliminate so much stress in your life. So being able to understand the difference between acute and chronic stress will help you understand how it affects you in your life. Because chronic, if we can mitigate the impacts of chronic stress, this will promote your health and well-being. And so this doesn't just involve recognizing the early signs of stress, but also being able to implement really simple but effective strategies to help you balance your physiological and psychological needs. So that's a little deep dive into chronic stress and acute stress. I talked about some of the early signals of fatigue, chronic stress overload, and fatigue, irritability. Those really are like the anxiety. Like those three really, like those for me are key indicators of like check engine light. Brittany, pay attention. And most of us are so busy in our life that we are not listening to those signals. So that's why it's so important to like have some time to yourself, check in how you're feeling, because that's how you can really get ahead of the problems that stress can cause. And this isn't just like happening like this. This is a buildup over time. So let's talk a little bit about chronic stress in the body, because long-term stress where the fight or flight response is activated too frequently or stays activated for too long can be harmful. So if you notice yourself getting sick a lot because it weakens your immune system, if you are noticing, like I said, some more anxiety, some signs of like just lethargic, just not feeling motivated, feeling depressed, that's also a signal of it. And then also just cognitive functions like concentrating, decision-making, memory, all of that is trying to send signals. So if any of that is happening, like that is your check engine light, and it's your responsibility to do something about it. Because when you can understand that your stress response is just doing its job, it's just doing its job. It's really important. It's not a bad thing. It's doing its job. So when you have that activation, being able to get into a parasympathetic state, which helps your body relax and recover after the stress has passed, this promotes a state of calm, balance, and just ultimate well-being. So again, I'm going to get deeper into this, but techniques like deep breathing, and the deep breathing that I work with my clients is a double exhalation. So instead of focusing on the inhale, which adds energy, you want to focus on the exhale, which really down regulates. So you can inhale for 4 and then exhale for 6 or 8. And the more you do that, that really gets you out of that. That helps you work through the stress response after it's passed. Meditation can be helpful. Mindfulness, like I said, movement, like these are all really, really simple. And I think it's really easy to take them for granted because of how simple they are. But the biggest thing here is the impact and the implication that chronic stress has on your body. And again, it like, you know, we might have this mindset of like, oh, well, I'll rest, you know, when I'm done with this, or like we have that arrival fallacy. And that could be, that's so dangerous to think that way, because this buildup over time is what causes the problems later on in our life. So if we can be preventative and proactive, it will put you in a really good place. Let me tell you. So I really wanted the first episode of this series to be focused on what stress is, the purpose of stress, how it's not going anywhere, changing our relationship with how we talk about stress, changing our relationship with how we identify with stress, recognizing that you are not stress. You are a person, a human being that experiences stress like all other human beings. It's not something that people don't experience. We all experience it to one degree or another. It's really just a matter of having the skills and the practices to help you overcome your stress responses, because they're not going anywhere. And one of the things that I find really helpful is when you do have a stress response, is just taking a moment to pause, to look around and be like, what's the threat? What am I feeling threatened by? And even just like that, like kind of helps break the stress response from like getting into a place where it can get you, it's really harder to come down from. So now I want to talk about a little self-assessment and reflection to kind of introduce more stress management, stress reduction techniques, because I think that this is important for you to recognize your own unique stress response and explore strategies that work for you. And I say that very with an emphasis on you, because what works for one person isn't going to work for another person. And not every situation, not every stress response, the technique is going to work for, because some stress responses are way bigger than others. And some are just more like little annoyances and nuances, but still require you to work through the stress, because once it's there, it's there. And the more you ignore it, the more it's going to build up. So I really want to help you identify stressors in your life and help give you foundational, simple techniques to help you manage. And this is really going to set the groundwork for what we're going to continue our conversation in this month. So first thing that I want to offer you is a little self-assessment. So the first step is recognizing your stressors. Like I said, a stressor is not what causes a stress response. A stressor is not the cause of stress. The cause of stress is something happens either in our external or internal world that's messed with our past learning that we perceive as a threat, and our body reacts to it. We have a physiological reaction, which creates the stress response. Okay. So we just want to know what your stressors are, whether it's an internal stressor or an external stressor. This is the first step to managing stress. So this process really requires honest self-reflection and self-assessment to uncover both the obvious and more subtle sources of stress. So, you know, every single person is going to experience stress different. And this will vary based off of your areas of work, what type of relationships you have, what kind of financial pressure, what kind of health concerns, and just even like the daily hustle of life, right? It could be you managing a house and having 5 children. It could be you living in a city that there's always traffic. Like, there's so many different factors. That's why managing stress is not a one size fit all. So you really need to be honest and meet yourself where you're at. And while, you know, there's tons of great advice on the internet, the key is really applying it and seeing if it works for you. And if it doesn't, apply something different. So what I would suggest is taking a look at what your stressors are. Like, take some time to reflect on taking a stress inventory. So look at the different situations, the tasks, the relationships that might provoke feelings of stress or discomfort. And again, no judgment here, just being aware of what happens inside of your body. Is it when you get an email from someone? Is it when you check your bank statement? All of that is just giving you information. And sometimes it's an external, but sometimes it's an internal, and that becomes a little bit sneakier because we have these limiting beliefs and these core wounds. And a lot of the times the internal stressors are coming from our subconscious. So we're not even aware of what it is, but we know we feel a certain way first. And our feelings, our emotion is truly the access point into our subconscious. So even though thoughts create how we feel, our body is going to be signaling, hey, something is coming up. And you'll be like, why? Why do I feel stressed right now when I'm like out here enjoying this sunny day? There's something happening internally. So being able to kind of pay attention to the different patterns and the different thoughts and emotions that come up is really helpful. So just start taking a list, and then also identifying what your physical, emotional, or behavioral responses are to these stressors. So this will help you gain insight into how stress manifests for you personally. So when you're stressed out, do you eat? Do you scroll on Instagram? Do you mindlessly watch television shows? Do you online shop? Like, what is your behavioral pattern? Because we just want to bring awareness. Again, no judgment. It's like, when you're stressed, what are your behaviors? How do you feel? How's your body responding? Does it feel tight? Where in your body hurts? How's your sleep? All of that is going to give you so much information. It's going to give you so much information about yourself. And this will really help you when you have your list of stressors. This will really help you prioritize them based on your needs. So if you have this comprehensive list of stressors, the next step would be to prioritize them based on the impact and the level of control they have over you. So this helps in focusing on the areas where you want to make a change, where you want to make a shift. And if you can't make a shift, because yes, there's stress reduction, but then there's also stress resilience, where you learn how to adapt or accept the things that you cannot change. And I'm going to get into those in later episodes, but right now we just want to prioritize, like, what's the impact of the stressor? Is there something you can do about them? Yes, great. Do something about them. If there's not, how do you learn and adapt from them? Okay. So that's the first part, is self-assessment, self-reflection. So number one, write down the things that stress you out, like all the things. Number two, write down your physical, emotional, or behavioral responses to these stressors to see how this manifests. And then step three, prioritize. Prioritize the stressors and the impact based off of the ones you have control over versus the ones that you cannot change, but you can learn and adapt from. Okay. So that's step one. Then let's talk about some stress management techniques. Okay. And we're going to get into this a little bit deeper as the episodes progress, but I do want to touch on them because I always like to give something tangible. And if you work with me, these are probably going to sound really familiar because they freaking work. I use them every single day and they are so helpful. So, you know, the first one, you're not going to be surprised, but it's breathing exercise. And, you know, I've talked about this before and I will be talking about this till I'm blue in the face. Your breath is your breathing process system is the only process in your autonomic nervous system that you have control over. So there's automatic control where you don't have to consciously think about it. Thank goodness. But then there's also conscious control. And this is simple and so powerful. Controlled breathing can help activate the parasympathetic nervous system. And this reduces the physiological symptoms of stress. So it doesn't mean the stress goes away, but it reduces the symptoms. Your heart rate slows down. You're not as tense. Your systems stay on. Very important here. Okay. So you can do the belly breathing where you're inhaling deep into your belly, through your nose, you're exhaling through your mouth. I also love box breathing where I inhale for four, I hold for four, I exhale for four, I hold for four. It doesn't have to be a four count. You just want the cadence to be the same. I find that super powerful. And these can be practiced anywhere. And it's a really quick way to manage acute stress. And I use this every single day. Like if I get stressed out, something with my daughter or something, I'm just like in my environment, I do box breathing quite often. The other breath technique called the physiological sigh. And that technique, you inhale quickly and then you inhale again. And then you go, ah, and you make an audible sigh. And let me tell you, that is a magic sauce to down-regulating the nervous system. Another technique is mindfulness and meditation. So this is just bringing your focus into the present moment, which kind of breaks that cycle of rumination or worry that comes with stress. So especially if you're having an internal stressor or something about like something that might happen or something that has happened in the past, mindfulness and meditation can bring you right back into the present moment and get, you know, open you up to what's happening right now. The next one, which is also one of my favorite, but again, there's a dark side if you do it too much, is physical activity. Especially when you have an activation and you have too much stress in your body, my go-to is either walking, working out, just something to discharge the energy. Sometimes we just need to let the energy settle because that's all that stress is in our body. It's energy, right? It's an activation. Or something to discharge or settle, but I find like the discharge is really helpful. So it is a proven stress reliever. I mean, you could listen to anything. You probably listen to the Huberman podcast and go deep into this. But this is a physical release of stress, but it also helps the mood because it increases the endorphins. It increases those feel-good chemicals. So having a physical activity that you enjoy, walking, yoga, cycling, hiking, dancing, tai chi, whatever. If you have something that you like, it can make an exercise program more sustainable and it helps. It's a very helpful stress management tool. Like it is day and night difference for me, at least I know that that is something that is so true. And then the other thing that's really simple that you could implement today is establishing a routine. Having a routine gives a sense of structure and control, especially when things feel chaotic. Because when things feel chaotic and we feel like we don't have control, that's when stress increases. But even if it's something as simple as doing one or two things the same every day, this is going to help manage that stress. So this could be having a regular sleep schedule where you go to bed around the same time every night. This could be something as simple as meal planning. This could be something as simple as having a specific time where you rest, like specifically just take the time. And this could be as simple as having a routine for when you do laundry, when you buy food, instead of just having it all be up in the air. So breathing, mindfulness, meditation, movement, or establishing routine. Like I said, we'll dive deeper into these techniques later on, but I always want to leave you with something tangible that you can apply right now because you literally can. It's so simple. And it's so simple, and you've heard this before. And even if you're like, I know this already, Brittany, I love that you know this, but are you applying it? I'm not judging you. I'm the queen of taking in information. But really, if you apply this and you are consistent with it, this will help manage stress so effectively. Because if you understand your personal stressors and then experiment with different strategies to help you manage stress, it will be such a game changer. When you do the self-reflection, when you are proactive about your stress management, this will enhance your personal well-being, but also it's just going to improve your ability to face challenges with resilience and adaptability. Because as we know, challenges are not going anywhere. Being human is full of adversity, and we don't want to just put our head in a hole and hide, right? Our ancestors, they came out of that cave. They did the work. We can do it too. So having this foundational knowledge is key. And this is really going to set us up for our future conversations. And I really want to help enrich your toolbox for handling stress because this is something that will have you being healthy and happy and joyful and fulfilled for a lifetime to come. So I really hope that you got something from this episode. Please ask me any questions that might have come up. I am here for you. I want to help you manage your stress and I'm excited to continue this series with you. Okay. That's it, my friend. If you have any questions, like always, please send me a message. I will answer them on the podcast or I'll answer them in the DMs. I hope that you have a beautiful day. We are into April. And if that stresses you out, use one of these techniques to bring you back into the present moment because you are in control of what's happening inside of your body, my friend. Okay, until next time, remember to love yourself, own your happiness, and let your light shine. Because you're so worthy of it. Until next time.